The general outline of Acts is derived from Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost, notice that's part, not parts, part, it means Rome, unto the uttermost part of the earth, which begins with Peter's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, followed by the planting of the church in Antioch and the persecution by Herod and Herod's subsequent death, Saul's, also known as Paul's, missionary journey with Barnabas, recorded in 13:1 through 14:28, and is followed by the council at Jerusalem in 15:1 through 35. Then there's Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas. It occurs in 15:36 through 18:22, and his third missionary journey in 18:23 to 21:26. Then there's Paul's arrest and trials are found in 21:27 through 26:32, and they're followed by his voyage to Rome and shipwreck, and his house arrest and witnesses to the Jews in Rome, which is where Acts will end. We see in Acts 9:32 through 11:18 that Peter preaches the gospel to the Gentiles. In Matthew 16:18 through 19, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus addressed Peter. He said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell." I want you to know that the word for hell is the word Hades, not Gehenna. The gates of Hades, which represents the grave or death and does not represent Gehenna, the lake of fire or eternal hell. Unfortunately, I've heard too many preachers incorrectly state that it refers to eternal hell, shall not prevail against it. Remember, gates are something you use to hold something in or keep something out. It means that the gates of Hades, the grave, which represents death, will not prevail against my church, meaning against Christ's church. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to deal with another passage that I didn't put in your notes. But verse 19 goes on, "And I will give unto thee," meaning unto you, Peter, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter is being given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he will introduce the Gentiles into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is not in your notes. This is extra. It doesn't cost you anything except a minute or two right now. In conjunction with Hades, referring to death or the grave rather than to eternal hell, please note 1 Corinthians 15:54 and 55, which say, "So when this corruptible," meaning corruptible body, it's a neuter gender, not masculine, "when this corruptible body shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal," meaning this body that's subject to death, shall have put on immortality, meaning it'll no longer be subject to death, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And then it says, O grave. The word for grave is the word Hades. O Hades, where is thy victory? You see, Hades will not prevail over Christ's church. We're not talking about a place of punishment. We're talking about the dead. Death will not prevail over Christ's church. You see, when we as saved people pass into death, that's only physical. Actually, it's like going through a doorway into heaven itself, where we'll be with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. The grave can't hold us. We're going to be in heaven forever. O Hades, where is thy victory? Now, that's the end of my excursion there. Every once in a while, I get a brilliant idea. At least in my mind, it's brilliant. My wife may have a different view of my idea, but that's all right. She's entitled to her opinion. She's a very opinionated lady. She chose me, you know, okay? And I surely am not going to question her judgment now. Because of this, I'm picking on her, in case you did not realize it. Because of this, Peter was given the privilege of opening the door of salvation to the Gentiles. He healed a paralyzed man named Aeneas in Lydda, and as a result, many were saved. He also raised Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, from the dead in 9:36-43. As a result, many more believed in Joppa. Now, those are the two passages we're going to be looking at in this morning's message. He also proclaimed the gospel to Cornelius and other Gentiles in the home of Cornelius in Caesarea. Because he went into a Gentile's home and ate with Gentiles, Peter was taken to task by some when he returned to Jerusalem. However, after Peter rehearsed the entire episode, those who were not pleased with what Peter had done kept quiet and recognized that God had also granted repentance to the Gentiles unto eternal life. And so as we begin in 9:32, we see Peter healing a paralyzed man at Lydda. Now, Lydda was a community about 10 or 11 miles southeast of Joppa. Joppa was located at the southern end of the plain of Sharon, which goes up towards Caesarea along the Mediterranean coast. And we're going to see in the next, today and next week, we're going to see not only Lydda, but Joppa and also Caesarea brought into our messages. And Caesarea is about 20 miles or so north of Joppa. So we're starting out in Lydda, and then after we get done with Lydda, we're going to have Peter going 10 or 11 miles northwest to get to the Mediterranean where Joppa is or was. In Lydda, Peter encountered a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed for 8 years, and he healed him in the name of Christ. All those in Lydda and Sharon who saw this now healed paralyzed man turned to the Lord. We read about it, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there were found there he found a certain man named Aeneas who had kept his bed 8 years. Now, some of you may think you've kept your bed longer than that, but that doesn't mean that you've owned that same bed and it's off in a storeroom somewhere. It means he was a bed patient. He couldn't get out of bed. We've all known people like this who end up dying, and they were bed patients at the time. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda, and notice it's Saron. It doesn't have the H in it here. And that's because in the Hebrew language, there's a single letter. If you put a dot on the right side, it's an SH sound. If you put a dot on the left side, it's an S sound. Saron or Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Verse 32 returns to the ministry of Peter. He's been out of the picture for a couple of chapters. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And, of course, is continuing the narrative. That's typical in Jewish talking. But takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now. It came to pass. What does it mean? It happened. Or it came about. As Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also is simply Peter passing through all places came down also. It wasn't that he was going through all the quarters that he had in his pocket. He was passing through all territories or places. And he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, meaning to the saints who were living or residing in Lydda, a city of about 10 or 11 miles southeast of Joppa on the road to Jerusalem. And I've already said it, that Joppa was located on the Mediterranean coast. Verse 33 indicates that Peter met a paralyzed man named Aeneas. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And, of course, continues the narrative, there suggests in that place and refers to Lydda. He, meaning Peter, found a certain man named Aeneas. Now, the text does not indicate how Peter encountered Aeneas, who is described by which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy, which is who, referring to Aeneas, had kept his bed, means has lain on his mattress or pallet. He was confined to his bed as a bed patient. 8 years is for 8 years. How would you like to have a problem that you had to spend the last 8 years of your life in bed? Unfortunately, some of us may experience that someday. And we pity the poor people that have to care for us, but that's the way it goes. And if you've been with an elderly parent, and as they were at the end of their lives, you may have gone through this already with your parent or with your spouse, as the case may be. Aeneas is further described as and was sick of the palsy, which is who had been or who was paralyzed or disabled. And its tense indicates that he was in a state of being, the result of something which had occurred at least 8 years previously. Now, we don't know what it was, but this is the result. Verse 34 continues Peter's encounter with Aeneas, with what Peter told Aeneas, and with its result. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And Peter said unto him, introduces Peter's statement. After addressing Aeneas by name, Peter said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. You notice, Peter's not the divine healer. Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ heals you. After saying this, Peter continued, arise and make thy bed. The tense of arise, or of get up, and of make thy bed, or make your own bed, indicates that their respective actions were to be undertaken at once and without delay, and they were. For a man who had been paralyzed for 8 years, this would have been impossible. But a miracle of healing had obviously taken place, and he, meaning Aeneas, arose or got up immediately. That means at once. Now, I want you to note something. Healing in the scriptures was always instantaneous. We have people that think they're divine healers today, but they don't have 100% success ratio, which they always were 100%. Nobody failed to heal somebody in the New Testament. But our divine healers today do, and it's some pain here or there, and oh, it'll go away in 2 or 3 days. Be careful. The gift of healing ceased when the New Testament was completed and is no longer being given today, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts. Don't you wonder why Oral Roberts built a hospital? If he was a divine healer, would have been cheaper for him just to go around healing people instead of having to have a hospital for that purpose. But that's just a question the Baptist is going to ask Oral Roberts. Verse 35 goes along and indicates what happened following the healing of Aeneas. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Why did the Lord Jesus heal Aeneas at this time? So that people would see it and believe the gospel message and be saved. All that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon is the plain, and that goes up from Joppa to Caesarea. All that saw him, all the ones dwelling or living or residing in Lydda and Sharon saw him. And it does not mean saw him being healed. It suggests that they observed Aeneas after he had been healed. What a testimony. What a change. And they turned to the Lord. This verse is understood as indicating that they're seeing Aeneas after he had been healed resulted in their turning to the Lord. Turn to the Lord or turn to Christ suggests that they had changed their minds about their direction and course in life and had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the one who had healed Aeneas. It's reminiscent of 1 Thessalonians 1:8 through 10, which says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia," that would be northern and southern Greece, "but also in every place your faith to Godward," or toward God, "was spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He's already delivered us from the wrath to come. As we move into verse 36 and to the end of the chapter, we see Peter raising Dorcas from the dead in Joppa. Now remember, Peter is in Lydda, and he's staying there for a while, having healed Aeneas there. But a lady in nearby Joppa named Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, died, and her body was placed in an upper room. They also sent to Lydda for Peter, and he came without delay, raised her from the dead, and presented her alive. This was well known, and many believed in the Lord as a result. Peter subsequently stayed in Joppa in the house of Simon, a tanner. And he's going to stay there a while. We don't know how long, but that's where the men from Caesarea, from Cornelius, will find him. We read about this in Acts 9, 36 to 43. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple, it's a female disciple, named Tabitha, which by interpretation, that means if translated, is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now let's break this down verse by verse and see what we can pick up here that we haven't already picked up by reading it. Verse 36 introduces Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple, again female, named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now is continuing the narrative, but taking it in a slightly different direction. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, is a certain female disciple with the name Tabitha, was in Joppa. At Joppa has been emphasized by its placement in the sentence, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, is which being translated means Dorcas, which of course refers to the name Tabitha. By interpretation may show time and be understood in the sense of when translated or when it is translated, or it may be understood as showing condition in the sense of if translated or if it is translated. Now, you may not know what your name means. I'm not sure we want to know what some of our names actually mean in the past. If your parents called you Stinky, you sure don't want to be referencing that just too often. I remember in one of my grade school rooms one year, there was a child and he was named Stinky. That was his nickname, and there was a reason it was descriptive, all right? As I recall, his mother sewed him in his long underwear in the fall and didn't take it off until spring, and you can understand the reason for his nickname. It was not a good situation in a classroom. What you gonna do? Teacher told us to be quiet and stop doing that. She couldn't do anything about it. Anyway, it's called Dorcas, means gazelle. Why did they call her gazelle? I have no idea. Maybe she was light of foot like a gazelle. The woman is the translation of a feminine form and really means this one or she. Was speaks of continuing, repeated, or customary action in past time and suggests that this was her custom or her habit. She was always this way. She was always full of good works and alms deeds, which suggests that her life was characterized by good works and alms deeds, which she did or which she was doing. Full of indicate or introduces characteristics of her life. She was always doing good works or meritorious deeds and alms deeds or charitable giving to needy persons, which she did refers to Tabitha's good works and alms deeds. The tense of she did indicates ongoing, repeated, or customary action in past time in the sense of what she was doing or which she was doing. Verse 37 records her death. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, laid her in an upper chamber. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died is it happened in those days that she, having been or having become sick, died. It came to pass indicates that a new situation occurred in those days at that time. The new situation is that she, meaning that Tabitha, was sick and died. Was sick has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to died. Its action occurred before the action of died. It may instead be understood in the sense of having been sick or became sick, depending on how long she had been sick prior to her death, which means this: we can't tell how long she might have been sick. It could have been a fairly lengthy time while that she was sick prior to her death. On the other hand, could have been a short period of time. We just don't know. What we know is she was sick or became sick and subsequently died. She died indicates that she was clearly dead, that her life was no longer in her, and that she had not merely passed out. God was going to use her death to accomplish something that was very good. Didn't seem like it at the time, maybe, to her friends, but it would result in many people being saved, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And having washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. In the Greek text, her, which refers to Tabitha, is understood with both had washed and with laid. To show this, the King James translators have translated her as whom with had washed, and have then supplied her with laid. Just understand, when they had washed her, they laid her body in an upper chamber. The tense of when they had washed indicates that its action occurred before the action of laid, and it's understood in the sense of after they washed. You would understand that if you've ever been involved with a dead body. Before you put it somewhere, you wash it up. It might instead be understood as indicating a fact in addition to laid, in the sense of and they washed. What does that mean? Oh, it's simple. This is not a complex passage. Washed means they bathed her dead body or they bathed her corpse. Laid her suggests that they put or placed her corpse in an upstairs or upper chamber, meaning in a room upstairs. Verse 38 indicates that the disciples in Joppa were aware that Peter was nearby in Lydda. They remember that he had raised somebody from the dead there, so they sent for him, apparently realizing that he was able to raise Tabitha from the dead, and I'm sure hopeful that that's what he would do. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. So 11 miles to there, 11 miles back with him. It's only 22 miles. We would think that was a big deal today if we didn't have a car and had to walk. They walked all the time. This was no big deal to them. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, suggests and because or inasmuch as or since Lydda was near to Joppa, nigh is in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, reads literally near being Lydda to Joppa. And the disciples, meaning the believers in Joppa, had heard that Peter was there, and the disciples having heard that Peter was in it, meaning in Lydda, had heard, has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to sent. It might instead be understood in the sense of indicating cause, and understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that they heard. What they had heard is that Peter was there in Lydda. They sent unto him two men, two unnamed males. Desiring him is understood in the sense of and were encouraging or urging or appealing to him. What they desired was that he, meaning Peter, would not delay to come to them, meaning to the disciples in Joppa. Please come right away, Peter. Would not delay to come, as would not hesitate to come. They wanted him to come right away. Well, verse 39 indicates that Peter accompanied the two men to Joppa, where they took him into the upstairs room where the widows were weeping and showing things that Dorcas had made. So Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Widows were there in that room? And we don't know, but it sounds like more than one or two, all right? Then continues, indicating what happened next. Peter is functioning as a subject of went. Peter arose, he went. Of course, he got up before he went, but so you have to keep the timing straight. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to went. It might instead be understood as having arisen or having gotten up or after he arose, but it sounds like he went right away, so it might be just as well to leave it as understood as he got up and went. He went with them. He accompanied these two disciples, and they brought him into the room upstairs. When he was come is used in conjunction with brought. Its action occurred before the action of brought. It's understood in the sense of after he came or after he arrived. He had to get there before he could go into the upper room, of course. They brought him up, or they led him, or led him up into the upper chamber, into the room upstairs. And all the widows stood by him weeping. Indicates what Peter encountered when he entered the room, the upstairs room. How many were there? We don't know. A bunch, sounds like. They stood by him, by Peter, weeping, obviously grieved over the death of Dorcas. Perhaps because they loved her as a fellow believer, She would seem to be that kind of lady that everybody would love. Or maybe she'd been a benefactor to some of them, and her benefacting ways would no longer be continued. They were also showing, meaning showing Peter, the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So something you can't read in the English, but you can see it in the Greek text if you can only read Greek. It's literally showing on themselves. And it means that they were actually wearing these items which Dorcas had made. So they were modeling them for Peter's benefit. Coats is clothes, and garments refers to outer clothing in the sense of cloaks or robes, which Dorcas made, refers to the garments the widows were wearing, which had been made by Dorcas while she was with them, while she's still alive. As verse 40 records Peter's raising Dorcas from the dead. But Peter put them all forth. I'm sure they weren't happy with that, but it doesn't say that. That's just my guess. And kneeled down and prayed and turned him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. What do you suppose was going through her mind? Well, I'm not sure. What would have gone through your mind if you had been Dorcas? Well, you might have thought you had been asleep. I don't know what you'd have thought. But introduces this statement in mild contrast. Peter put them all forth, means he took all these ladies and ushered them out the door before he prayed. He put all out. Them all. It refers to these widows. Forth is outside, or outside means outside the upstairs room, and he kneeled down. It's used in conjunction with prayed, and its action likewise occurred before the action of prayed. It had been translated as indicating a fact in addition to prayed. He kneeled down. He placed his knees. It's understood in the sense of he bowed his knees, or bowing his knees, or kneeling down in preparation for his prayer for Dorcas. As with put, it might have been translated as indicating time, or in the sense of after kneeling down or after he kneeled down. Peter prayed, suggests that he requested the Lord to restore Dorcas' life. And turning him to the body is used in conjunction with said, and its tense indicates that his action occurred before the action of said. It might instead be understood as showing time, understood in the sense of after he turned to the body, or after he turned to the body to Dorcas' corpse, or showing a fact in addition to that. He uttered. And what he uttered was, Tabitha, get up, arise. And the tense of arise indicates that she was able to do so at once and without delay. Now I have a question for you. I don't have the answer. I have my opinion, and I'll share that with you. How long did Peter spend praying? Well, we don't know. Doesn't say. My guess is he didn't pray very long. He just asked the Lord to take care of this, and the Lord took care of it. Now, could he have prayed for 10 minutes? Sure. Might he have prayed for 2 hours? We don't know. He could have prayed as long as he wanted to pray. But the Lord answered that prayer. My guess is it was fairly quickly. And she opened her eyes as if she were awakened from sleep. I'm sure she was wondering, where have I been? She didn't have any recollection of where she had been. Where was she? Well, I don't know. She might have been in paradise for all I know. Doesn't say. But she did come back if she had been gone somewhere else. When she saw Peter is used in conjunction with sat up, and its tense indicates that that action occurred at the same time upon seeing Peter. She sat up. She sat upright. obviously something a dead person could not have done, but she was no longer dead. A miracle had taken place. And so in verse 41, Peter presents the now alive Dorcas to the saints and widows. I'm sure they were surprised, pleased, hopeful, but clearly surprised when they actually saw her. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And he gave her his hand. He lifted her up. He raised her. When he had called the saints and widows is used in conjunction with presented. Its tense indicates that his action occurred before the action. Perhaps is indicating time after this he called the saints and widows. And he called the saints and widows. It doesn't make any difference. It all means the same thing. The saints were believers who had gathered to remember Dorcas. And the widows were ladies who had been with Peter in the upstairs room weeping for Dorcas. He presented her alive. She was no longer dead, but was living again, although she was still subject to physical death at some future time. Remember, everybody raised in the Bible from the dead except Christ was subject to dying a second time. They did not have eternal life because of being raised from the dead. They had eternal life because of trusting Christ as Savior. Verse 42 indicates that many trusted Christ as a result of the miracle of Dorcas having been raised from the dead. It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Throughout all Joppa suggests the completeness of the knowledge that Dorcas, who had been dead, was now alive again. And the result of the widespread knowledge of this miracle is that many believed in the Lord. How many is many? And the answer is, we don't know, but it sounds like a large number of people. Believed in the Lord, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ indicates that they placed their trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins and their eternal redemption. It shows at least one reason this miracle had been made possible in Joppa. Verse 43 indicates what Peter did after healing Dorcas. It came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. It happened that he, meaning that Peter, tarried or remained or stayed or lived or dwelled or lodged many days in Joppa. Once again, how long is many days? We don't know the actual number of days, but it sounds like it was quite a while. With one Simon, a tanner, he worked with animal skins. Now, what's God got in store for you? Or what's God got in store for me? And I don't know the answer to those questions. What we know is what he's got in store for us today, right now. Remember that God is in control of the circumstances you experience in your life. Simply stay faithful like Peter did and allow God to guide your every step by opening and closing doors for you just like he did with Peter on this occasion and actually on these two occasions. Stay faithful. Be living for the Lord. Let the Lord concern himself with what he's got for you today. You might be surprised that he has something extra special for you today, or maybe next week, or maybe 2 weeks from now, or maybe several times. What a wonderful experience that Peter had in seeing two dead folks raised from the dead. Now, the likelihood is you don't have that gift. I know that you don't. But maybe God's got something special for you. Maybe just a word from you will be all that somebody needs to get saved and live for the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this privilege we have of looking into this Word of God passage where we look at two people raised from the dead by Peter, with Christ using Peter to do this. I pray that you'll help us to stay faithful and use us to accomplish some great things for you in the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.